when you talk to somebody about how much they treasure it, it's in their eyes and it's in their hands and it's in the little envelope, and it's a lot different to me than treasuring a piece of furniture and passing it down from generation to generation, because it's a living connection to the past that people don't have with material possessions.
Diana George Chapin owns the Heirloom Garden of Maine. She works to preserve the lineage of plants, one seed at a time. I'm Samantha Brown, and you're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. We bring you pieces each week about the intersection of people and place. Here's It's in the Little Envelope, produced by Jennifer Ball with the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies.
Okay, here we go. Down into the garden.
Diana George Chapin is eager to get her hands dirty.
This is good dirt. This is awesome dirt. This has been farmed for 200 years and I love it.
She walks briskly down the dirt road from her house to her seed nursery. It's a chilly October morning. She passes her greenhouse, a long metal dome covered in thick plastic, and stops to examine a stand of plants. This is the Heirloom Garden of Maine in Montville. Diana is its proud owner.
This is such a beautiful plant. It's called blackberry lily, and in the summer it has these gorgeous little orange flowers that look like iris flowers, and they turn to these blackberries. Some of the seeds big like this, and some is super, super fine like dust, and some are spiky. Some look like little tiny bananas with spikes on them. I get the thrill out of sowing seeds in spring like kids get at Christmas.
Right now, the nursery looks barren. But in the spring, this is the heart of Diana's business. When it gets warm, customers from all over flock to the garden to see her unique varieties of plants. They also come to learn about Diana's specialty, growing heirloom seeds.
Sometimes people ask, well, what's an heirloom? Do people define that in different ways? And for our purposes, we say that an heirloom is a plant that was passed down from generation to generation.
Some families hand down fancy jewelry or expensive paintings. But customers of the Heirloom Garden pass on their family legacy through plants. And many of these plants have stayed in families for decades.
I find some people who come to the greenhouse and say, you know, I have these 8 ox heart tomato seeds that my great aunt gave me, and I don't want to trust them to anyone, but I want to, you know, have them started because they're the only 8 I have. And when you talk to somebody about how much they treasure it, it's in their eyes and it's in their hands and it's in the little envelope, and it's a lot different to me than treasuring a piece of furniture and passing it down from generation to generation, because it's a living connection to the past that people don't have with material possessions. I'm going to put these blackberry seeds in my mailbox. My mailman never knows what he's going to find in there.
The mailbox, Diana explains, is actually an important connection between she and her customers. In the winter, when heavy snowfall makes it hard to get to the garden, most people send their seeds by mail. But at this point in the season, customers still come by to drop off and pick up their merchandise.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm there. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Needless to say, cold.
To have somebody start the seeds is just wonderful, because that way you get such a variety that you can't get, and I just don't have the time to try to start the seeds myself.
We're only a couple of blocks off the ocean. It stays cooler in the spring, so things don't germinate as fast if you're outside.
Well, I think you have to pay a lot of attention. You know, they need constant temperatures and moisture, and with us both working full time, it's...
And no greenhouse.
Yeah.
But when a plant is under Diana's watch, she's willing to do whatever it takes to make it thrive.
I start the seedlings in my home in a sunny room, and then at the beginning of April, move the operation out to the greenhouse and start transplanting. I've spent a few nights in the greenhouse when the temperature got down, just me with my sleeping bag. Yeah.
When the plants are ready, customers pick them up and take them home for the planting season. And when fall rolls around the next year, Diana starts the process all over again.
And I hope we'll see you in spring.
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
We can start some seeds for you. Let me know. That's
all right.
Fun.
Oh, yes, you will. Okay.
While she waits for her customers to return the next year, Diana saves seed from her own heirloom plants. She works on the land her parents and great-grandparents farmed. This, she says, gives her another special connection to the garden. Diana's mother and business partner, Sandy, agrees that the land and its past are important. But these days, her mother is more concerned with the farm's impact on the future.
Why are there now suddenly three companies controlling everything from seed to supermarket shelf? The companies have to do that to feed the people, but it's equally important for some people to counteract that by doing what we're doing.
On a global scale, the best reason to save seed is to save the genetic pool that seeds represent. So as long as we're able to save our own seeds, and little people in lots of different places are able to save their own seed, we're best assured of saving what genetic information we have.
Diana says she and her husband don't want to push the seed-saving mission onto their daughters, Julia, 13, and Emma, 11. Julia, more focused on her studies, seems disinterested in gardening for now. But the planting fervor has already taken hold in Emma.
I was pulling up our garden and I found these and I started opening them because they look old and dead, but actually it had those in it. These are, we think they're Vermont cranberry beans, and these ones are Mayflower beans. Next year I'm going to plant them.
You know, who knows what the future of this farm will be, but it's a mother-daughter business, and it's a multi-generational business. And our customers really like what they see when they come here. They are helping a small family farm. So that story helps make it easy for people to tell our story for us, because it's just a darn good story.
This is Jennifer Ball for Salt Radio.
To hear more stories like these, go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. For the Nature Stories podcast, I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week.